Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Three, two, one. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition, rolling into the happier happy hour with a fine guest. We reintroduce our good friend, Bill Press. He's a podcaster. He's a pundit. Most importantly, he's a friend of ours, and he answered. Bill, thanks for coming around, man.
Hey, Bill. Hey,
good to see you. Good to be with you again. How about it? Here for the happy hour.
Oh, yeah. The vaunted possession.
Iced tea.
Me too, man.
I'm going to make a confession on behalf of the panel. Bill, Dom doesn't drink iced tea.
Long Island iced teas.
Bill, welcome back to the big show, man. Been far too long. And, you know, the political silly season is really, really getting underway. And we've seen tightening polling here in our backyard in the great state of Wisconsin, and it's come with a lot of negative campaign ads. And really, Wisconsin is sort of the epicenter right now. Last time I saw, over 14,000 senatorial ads, like 3,000 more than run in the Walker-Warnock race in Georgia. That's a lot of freaking ads, Bill. We're getting pummeled here in the state of Wisconsin. Mandela Barnes, the Democratic nominee, is getting pummeled, and we've seen it turning in the polls. Bill, I'm getting a little nervous. We're getting late, and the Democrat now trails.
Yeah, I'm worried about that, too, although I think Ron Johnson is our best friend in the sense that we could almost not run a better campaign against him than he's running against himself. I mean, this latest nonsense, right, repeating that January 6th was not an insurrection. It was just tourists looking over the Capitol, right? And we learned from them. We learned how to use flagpoles as weapons. So we should thank all the people who stormed the Capitol, you know, killing five police officers on January 6th because we learned from them. That's the idiot who's running for re-election in Wisconsin. I can't believe it's even close. But I say, Ron Johnson, just keep talking, and that'll help Mandela Barnes.
Bill, sadly, it is very close. And the AARP put out new polling. Fox News put out new polling. They show actually in that race, in the senatorial race, they show Johnson with a lead sometimes outside the margin of error. And I don't know how this guy does it. I mean, he's more befuddling than Trump because he's a constant headline for something ridiculous he said or some ridiculous position he's taken, Bill, yet somehow it hasn't killed him yet with the electorate, politically, rhetorically speaking.
Look, first of all, the Republicans will put up with anything. Look what they're doing in Georgia with Herschel Walker, right? I mean, all these phony so-called right-to-life people. And here's a guy who clearly, the evidence is pretty clear, right? Paid for an abortion, urged her to have an abortion, wrote her a get well card. You know, they got the evidence. They got the canceled check from this dude. And what do the Christian conservatives say? Ralph Reed, you know, used to be with Jerry Falwell on the right. He comes out and says, people, this is not going to count. People just care about the economy. Right. So this is not an issue. Rick Scott says, oh, anytime the Democrats are behind, they lie, they cheat, they smear, they tell the truth. That's what Democrats are doing. They're telling the truth in Wisconsin. They're telling the truth in Georgia. Look, I'm a nervous Nelly when it comes to elections. And this is the season. All these races, with the exception probably of the governor's race in Maryland, right, are going to get tighter. And they're not going to be won by a landslide. They're going to be tight. And what Democrats have to do is not get nervous. They just got to get off their ass and get out and vote early and get the turnout. It's going to be turnout. It's going to be turnout in Georgia, turnout in Wisconsin, turnout in Nevada, turnout in North Carolina, which, by the way, huge, huge race there. You know, we can win North Carolina, and that'll be a real coup. Turnout in Florida, turnout across the board. That's the key. Don't get nervous. Get to work.
Bill, I see perhaps two contrary thoughts working against one another, at least in my little addled brain. One is that Republicans underreport when pollsters call. I fear that there are more Trumpster MAGA supportive Republicans that just aren't going to tell the truth to the pollsters when called. And then the flip side of that coin is the Dobbs decision, the reaction to the overturning of Roe v. Wade. I don't think we have any clear way of knowing just how impactful that will be on the electorate until we see people vote in the midterms, Bill. And by then, it's all or nothing. I know Mandela Barnes is trying to recast his campaign as a referendum on Roe v. Wade and the fact that Ron is against Roe.
Well, first of all, I think you're right on both points, right? I mean, Republicans do lie to pollsters, but a lot of people lie to pollsters. Polling today, I think, is an art or a science that has basically lost its credibility, lost its reputation. The truth is, we don't know what the hell people are going to do, right? You just cannot trust these polls. You know, I saw one article today that said that Republicans could be suffering from this because they're being underreported, therefore enthusiasm is going down and could work. It could work against them too. Who knows? But the Dobbs decision, if the Dobbs decision doesn't motivate people to vote, and not just Democrats, but anybody who believes in freedom, anybody who believes in the Constitution, particularly what do we call them now? We call them soccer moms, suburban moms, or whatever. I mean, this is their life. This is the right to control their own body and plan their own families. If they don't see that this Supreme Court, with that decision, is not only making all American women second-class citizens, but telegraphing that they're out to get to turn back and overturn any rights that are not enumerated in the Constitution, starting with gay rights next, then we're in trouble. If people don't see that threat, we're really in trouble.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. That's our pal, Bill Press. You can find him online at BillPressPods.com. Bill, thanks for coming around, man. Always good to see you. You know, Ron Johnson today, I believe it was today or yesterday, talking to Milwaukee Rotary, as you referenced. Oh, it wasn't an armed insurrection. He literally said, as I heard the audio, Bill, oh, they stayed within the velvet ropes, the whole velvet rope conversation, right? Well, we know, I mean, the Oath Keepers are on trial right now talking about hand grenades and stashed weapons. You got Walker in Georgia, right? Oh, you know, I'm anti-abortion. I'm pro-life. Oh, well, you paid someone to have an abortion. Oh, not a problem. So the Republicans will accept the gaslighting, accept the lies, accept the contradictions and the hypocrisy. But I got to believe in some way, shape, or form, Bill, that's got to suppress at least the believers in some regard, and certainly some independents who might, you know, generally vote as a conservative when they see this hypocrisy. Do you think that can be some drag on these guys at all? It doesn't seem to be impacting them the way I hoped it would. I mean, if you stand up and say you're one thing in the Democratic Party and you come out as entirely something else, hell, they'll be the first ones to show you the door. They don't seem to do that in the Republican Party, Bill.
They don't do that in the Republican Party. I mean, one thing they do have, I must admit, and I've written about this, I envy it among Republicans. Man, they're loyal. They're loyal to a fault, right? You know, Donald Trump can, an outright racist, right, insult Elaine Chao with a racist comment about her being a Chinese American. If any Democrat did that, I mean, Republicans would be holding impeachment hearings, right, if they had the power, right? With Donald Trump, they don't care. They don't care. It's the same thing with Herschel Walker. Imagine if any Democratic candidate, right, came out right now and anything, anything, but it's certainly paid for an abortion, admitted it or what, doesn't matter. They'd be all over it. No, I don't know. You know, the problem, Dom, is it started with Trump, right? I mean, look at, go back to the Access Hollywood tapes, right? Go back to trying to bribe a foreign leader. Go back to inciting an armed mob and directing an armed mob to attack the United States Capitol, to attack the United States government. And they look the other way. And the most you get is, I mean, you got Kevin McCarthy, who kisses Donald Trump's ass, you know, 9 times a day. The most you get is somebody like Mitch McConnell, who just won't say anything, right? Not even when Donald Trump attacks his wife with some racist comment.
Death wish.
Yeah. So I just hope that the American people have had enough of that kind of, I think eventually they will. I hope by the midterms they've had enough of it.
Hey, Bill, you're going to have some more time with us for the other side of this break. We got a few more questions. Yeah. Oh, awesome. Awesome. Love to hear.
I have a serious date for a drink at 6:30. So.
All right. Well, we'll make sure we get you out in time.
But that's Eastern time. That's Eastern time. You coastal elite. Come back with us and podcaster pundit Bill Press, one of our bestest friends. Really appreciate when you come around, Bill. You know, you got to get back to the Badger State, but sort of off topic. Did you see we unceremoniously fired our football coach this weekend?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay, I got a whole different direction for you in the last 30. Did you buy the book yet, Bill? Confidence, man.
Oh,
the Making of Donald Trump and Breaking of America, Maggie Haberman.
No, I can't wait. But let's talk about the only comeback, okay?
We certainly will. Our fine guest doesn't know much about Badger football, but a little something about politics. He's Bill Press. He's our fine guest. Come back. More Devil's Advocates on the other side. The Tuesday edition, the happy hour. It's the happiest when Bill Press comes around.
Think you know politics? Think again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Make sure you check us out on the socials, on Twitter at Devil Radio, Facebook at the Devil's Advocates Radio, and online for the podcast and interviews at darnwi.com.
Dominic, finest of guests. He is podcaster, pundit, Bill Press, our good friend. Bill, did you get the new book, the Maggie Haberman? It's the only one I've been promising to buy and read. Confidence Man, The Making of Donald Trump and the Breaking of America. Although my little buddy Dominic would take the attitude that this is bad, that this is bad for America, that she should have disclosed these headlines long ago and saved we the American people. And I don't know if it would have changed many minds, but these it will sell more books, Bill, and ultimately she's going to get paid.
Right.
Well, let me say this. First of all, I don't have the book yet. I can't wait to read it. It's on its way. I have an interview with Maggie scheduled for my podcast on the 17th of October. So that will air on the 18th of October. Can't wait for that. And maybe she should have saved some of the, or I mean, maybe you should have released some of that earlier. But let me tell you, she did some great reporting during the Trump years. I mean, I can't fault her for that. She had great access to Trump. They had a love-hate relationship. nobody had more time with Trump than she did, and nobody wrote more critically of Donald Trump than she did, right? Well, I want to tell you about another book. So my podcast today, anywhere you go, here's the plug, okay? anywhere you listen to podcasts, Google, Apple, whatever it is, the Bill Press Pod. And up today on the Bill Press Pod, Peter Baker and Susan Glasser with their book, The Divider. This is a fabulous book. It's a look at, again, Peter Baker, New York Times, Susan Glasser, New Yorker. They did some of the best reporting under the Trump years. They've put it all together here and then added with over 200 interviews, went down to Mar-a-Lago three times and interviewed Donald Trump. And they put the 4 years together. It is brutal. They do not hold back. They say, they call their book a report from an active crime scene.
Man, Bill, you're getting all the best guests over there on the Bill Press Pod.
Does that sum up the Trump presidency? Now, I want to read you. Here's my this is what blew me away. And I read a little bit of this to them when I interviewed. And Susan said, you picked the best paragraph, my favorite paragraph in the book. Here's the guy, president of the United States, Donald Trump, right? Here's what he didn't know. I won't read the whole paragraph, just a little bit. He didn't know Puerto Rico was part of the United States. Didn't know whether Colombia was in North America or South America. He thought Finland was part of Russia. He mixed up the Balkans with the Baltics. He asked at one point, how do I declare war? Not knowing the Constitution says only Congress can declare war. And then get this. He seemed generally surprised to learn that Abraham Lincoln had been a member of the Republican Party. This is Donald Trump. It was worse than we thought. We're lucky we survived, you know. And they conclude, as I did reading the book, that Donald Trump got away with so much because he just, in fact, the main theme of the book is that January 6th was not an aberration. It was the culmination of 4 years of breaking the rules, breaking the law, ignoring the Constitution, and undermining every democratic institution that we have. So Maggie Haberman, Peter Baker, Susan Glasser, we're lucky we got them.
You know what, Bill? While I realize you've got the fine guest, the Maggie Haberman, you know, the Devil's Advocates are going on trial that day, October 17th. And why that might be newsworthy is because we have subpoenaed the false Trump electors here in the state of Wisconsin as part of our legal defense for being in a locked Wisconsin State Capitol building. Now, we were there for a little First Amendment exercise, a little deviltry, jackassery. They were there to try and defraud, you know, the elective outcome. And we were treated differently under the law. Our attorney, and he's a damn fine one, Bill, not a flim-flammer, not like a Trump attorney. So, you know, we'll let you know how it goes. I don't know if we'll have a quick ruling or not.
Did Donald Trump sue you?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
We're hoping to be on the defamation list.
Hey, he sued CNN. He sued everybody else. I'm surprised he hasn't sued me, right?
Sued CNN for $475 million just so he could send out some emails to raise some money. Bill, but let's talk about the headwinds in the last couple of minutes we got here. Since we've talked, of course, Tish James laid out a $250 million fraud case against the Trump Organization, Trump and his kids.
That's why he sued for $500 million.
We got the Georgia cases. We have the J6 committees that I believe are going to start up again, what, next week or the following week, perhaps for their last. Bill, what do you see as the most pressing issue for Donald Trump legally right now?
I think it's the documents. I think, you know, the business stuff could come down against him and not have that much of an impact. But the Department of Justice, you know, he does not have a right to steal confidential documents. And he did. And it's pretty clear that he did. And he may be able to drag it out a little bit. Now he's going to his buddy Clarence Thomas on the Supreme Court saying, you got to give me some time, right? Yeah, right. That's a test for Clarence Thomas. Oh, yes, Donald, anything you want, baby. Right. And by the way, thanks for being so nice to my wife, Ginny, right? She loves you. Yeah. So he may drag it out a little bit, but I think they got him. I think they got the goods on him on those documents. We've seen the photographs, and you got the National Archives, man, going against Donald Trump and the Department of Justice. I think that's the biggest thing. By the way, think about how much money Donald Trump has spent on lawyers. I guess I should say, think how many lawyers he has hired but not paid, right? That's probably the case.
Isn't as PAC America First is cutting those checks? Those are the lemmings paying those bills, Bill.
Well, Bill, your check is in the mail, sir. Always appreciate you coming around the Devil's Advocates. Have a great interview with Maggie Haberman coming up soon, October 18th. Bill, talk to you real soon.
The Devil's Advocates, political commentary from the back of the class.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I want to thank our most recent guests. Always love when Bill Press comes round from the Bill Press Pod. Find it wherever podcasts are widely disseminated. And don't forget, he promises he's interviewing Maggie Haberman. That's a good get. October 17th, so that one will drop around the 18th. Bill promises. Go find it. Confidence, man, the making of Donald Trump and the breaking of America. I shared a little bit of the prologue, but I just bought the book over the lunch hour. Now I'm going to have to take it home, do a little light reading tonight.
Light reading of 600 pages of stuff that should have been out years ago. But, I don't begrudge people making money, but, you know, as a journalist, don't you want that out? Do you hold it? Like right now, Crew, do you got a story in your pocket that you're holding for the book? Or if you had it, would you come out and say it? If you knew, if you saw Ron Johnson coming out of a brothel, you know, would you hold
again?
That for the book?
No, I tease.
You know what I mean?
There's some things I know that I can't talk about.
College doesn't count, man. Indiscretion of youth.
Well, you ain't so young anymore. You are an AARP member. Dominic, I wanted to turn our attention to the 3rd congressional race in the great state of Wisconsin. Now, I know we live in Wisconsin, and you can hear us broadcasting there in the 3rd on WRCE. That's in Richland Center. That's southwestern Wisconsin. And then you can also hear us on WFHR, 1320 AM. That's up there in the Stevens Point, north central part of the state. And with the redistricting, the 3rd is both the river and also north central Wisconsin. Somehow it sticks
wow,
a thumb out
weird.
There
yeah,
and
right.
grabs a piece, and that's all part of the 3rd. But we've got a former ag secretary turned state senator, Brad Paff. And Brad Paff earned the endorsement of the outgoing incumbent, Ron Kind. Brad used to work for Ron. And Brad won a very contested primary, and Brad is shown to be an able, especially rural politician. I mean, he serves that district well, potentially. We'll see, because the incumbent, Ron Kind's leaving. And Ron Kind had a Republican carpetbagger that ran against him. And when I say a carpetbagger, Derek Van Orden, the Republican, moved to this part of the state, the 3rd CD, like 3 years ago. Sort of like the gubernatorial GOP nominee in the state of Wisconsin, Tim Michaels, you know, spends 183 days a year in Wisconsin.
Love Wisconsin.
But the kids are enrolled in school in Connecticut.
Yeah, I mean, better schools.
Well, anyways, Derek Van Orden hasn't really been doing debates, and he doesn't respond to press
inquiries.
Hasn't
really been doing debates. Has not been doing any debates, period. He didn't touch a toe into the debate. The dude is hiding. The insurrectionist bastard who lied about where he was during January 6th and use campaign funds to go partake in the party, that guy, oh, he's a keyboard warrior, but he will not debate.
Well, you talk about being a keyboard warrior, Dom. There's new reporting. Lawrence Andrea over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Here's the headline. A thin skin. Questions over Derek Van Orden's temperament. Color race for key Wisconsin congressional district. While he will not debate his opponent, Dom, and my understanding is he's currently up on charges in Iowa for carrying a loaded firearm through an airport, one in the chamber, you know, because if you're going to fly with a with the pistola, Dom, you got to have it loaded with one in the chamber.
Is that still up for charges, or is that settled that he's on probation?
Well, maybe you can Google while I'm throwing a little bit of this out there for the consideration of the audience. Minutes after he posted a tweet accusing the Republican running in Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District of manufacturing outrage and failing to offer solutions, Eric Buxton received a reply from the candidate. Is that really your picture? Derek Van Orden publicly responded 3 minutes later. So your real name is Eric Buxton? Van Orden then reshared the University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Pharmacy professor's July 13th post, asking Buxton if his home address, who he works for, who he's contributed to, who he's voted for. He threatened to publish the man's public information unless he stopped his Stalinist tactics. Less than an hour later, Van Orden tweeted 4 screenshots of Buxton's LinkedIn profile. This you, hero? Van Orden wrote for his thousands of Twitter followers to see. One of those followers posted the approximate location of Buxton's house in Madison. Now, Buxton called the encounter disturbing and said he was surprised someone running for Congress had such a thin skin. Here's what Buxton told
really
me.
Are you surprised? Oh, I mean, that's the thing about these guys.
I'm not,
you
know, surprised.
The narcissists, these big tough guys, cannot take a poke at all. Like, he got a little grief and he jumped online and started like C-capping people. Like, what's going on? Who are you? What? You know, and really, and he won't show up for a debate, but boy, you sure got some moxie behind the screen.
Here is what Buxton, who is the pharmacy professor that had the temerity of tweeting at the 3rd district candidate saying, do you offer any solutions? I mean, that was the message that right. that brought on this public threat of doxing. And anyway, so here's what Buxton said. It would be in poor taste for any adult to be this sensitive, but someone who wants to be in the public all the time has to be thick-skinned, whatever party they're in, because they're going to get flack. Yeah, a little worse than flack. The barrage of tweets, however, was not unusual for the retired Navy SEAL. Van Orden, in his second campaign for the Western Wisconsin seat, is unafraid of online squabbles and has been quick to engage in back and forth with those who challenge or disagree with him on social media. Don, why aren't you poking at that bear a little bit more often? You know,
right.
I don't
great
tweet.
Point. We should be poking at Derek.
Well, I thought we were doing that right now. Let me do it
a little
bit more.
Yeah, but on the Twitter, apparently, you know, he's really big on the computer, Crudy. But why don't you get, you know,
he can hear us on the local radio, you know, in his new adopted home in Southwestern
Wisconsin. I can upload the app
Wisconsin.
On your phone if your daughter's not around to help you out.
By the way, thanks for bringing that up. Happy birthday, Kelsey, kid.
Yeah,
my beautiful daughter.
Birthday.
Celebrating a birthday. Not so young anymore. What's happening to all the kids?
None of us, man. How's that possible?
Anyways, back to the insurrectionist, Derek Van Orden, who, you know, gets really butthurt if you tweet at him. He questioned the veracity of social media accounts that questioned him, using words like coward and telling people to kick rocks. I prefer pound sand. He frequently sparred with Democratic U.S. Rep. Mark Pocan in Twitter feuds. And he apologized for a tweet last year.
Oh, he apologized? Come on. What kind of tough guy are you, man?
That just shows weakness. Never apologize for a tweet. Just delete it quietly late at night. Those online exchanges, as well as some of Van Orden's past actions, like the taking the loaded handgun through a Cedar Rapids, Iowa airport, have raised questions among Democrats and Republicans alike over the Trump backed candidate's behavior. Let's not forget, we saw this Van Orden, and he struck a chord like Alex Jones ranting about a false flag at Sandy Hook. That's what he reminded me of. Very Alex Jones like tone.
Yeah,
very
right, yes.
Angry, very and you know, I'm not blessed with good hair. You know, I'm bald. You got the good hair in the panel, but Van Orden, he's full shiny. He looks like an angry Michael Spirkanich.
Was forgive me, Crudy, was Van Orden at the Trump rally in
Washington,
Wisconsin? He was there. Okay, yeah.
He was the angry one.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, I mean, Michaels was angry, too. There's a lot of angry white Republican men.
Well, Michaels was just loud. Van Orden was like Alex Jones.
Yes.
Living on the edge of a heart attack, kind of, I will eat your ass. Here's a quote from Brad Paff's campaign. Derek Van Orden doesn't have the temperament, the judgment, or the character to serve. It's very clear that, according to Brad Paff, recent interview, I wonder if it was with us, Derek Van Orden lashes out at people. This guy's a bully. He's a narcissistic bully.
Yes, totally.
Van Orden's campaign did not respond to several Journal Sentinel interview requests.
Fake news!
Over the span of more than 2 months.
Washing my hair. Can't say that, dude.
The race for the seat left by retiring Democrat U.S. Rep. Ron Kind has national implications. The GOP see the district as amongst its best chances to flip as Republicans push to take control of the House. And I would say it is in everybody's sights. And how do you know it's a big national race? The fundraising. Projections indicate Van Orden has the edge over Paff, and Republicans expect that lead to continue into November. The FEC, Federal Elections Commission, reports from the end of July, show that Van Orden raised $4.5 million. Brad Paff raised $722,000.
Oof, wow.
Now, Van Orden was the Republican nominee. He was effectively the chosen one for Republicans. No one ran against the guy. Paff had a competitive primary. Cook, the other candidate, I believe her name. So anyway, some of that money was split amongst the primary opponents, I suspect. We have to recognize that back in 2016, Donald Trump shifted the paradigm as to what was acceptable. You think? According to Reed Ribble, a Republican who once represented Wisconsin's 8th congressional district, you know, about 2011 to 17, didn't Reed Ribble come on with us? Maybe I'm confusing him for Tom Petri. Rudeness became an acceptable asset of campaigning. The interesting thing is, in the Republican world of politics right now, fighting is the standard. It's not principles. It's not ideas. It's not policy. It's just fighting. Dom, the exchange with Buxton was one of the last such public Twitter spats from Van Orden. Since the August primary, he has focused most of his attention on Paff and occasionally Kind. And the feud with Buxton came after the professor replied to a tweet from Mark Pocan, the Democratic congressman, demanding Van Orden apologize for saying the story of a 10-year-old rape victim who sought an abortion in Indiana was false when it was not. DVO, you know, Derek Van Orden, like MTG, you know, they're all kind of the same ilk, Dom, is great at manufacturing outrage, but terrible at offering positive plans for anything, wrote Buxton. That was the entirety of his tweet. That's, I mean, I said worse about know, you before guy, breakfast, Dom.
Just a piece of work. And again, the 10-year-old rape victim, you know, one of many Republicans, lots of Republicans couldn't believe that there is a story that so perfectly fits the reason why Roe v. Wade must be legal in this country. But anyway, he backed off of that. And maybe, what, he grounded himself a little bit? Very, very angry man, this guy. He campaigns heavily crudy on his military background. Records show he is a decorated combat veteran, earning at least 38 medals, including 2 Bronze Stars, in his 26-year career in the Navy. But he has a hard time with, what, conversation? You can be that. You can serve your country. You can earn the medals. But you can't take a little heat on the Twitters, dude.
You know what my buddy Mark Pocan, my congressman from here in the 2nd CD, said? He makes Marjorie Taylor Greene look like a moderate.
Buxton said he was frustrated with the July encounter and shocked at how quickly Van Orden zeroed in on the tweet. Aside from one user posting the approximate location of Buxton's home, nothing else came of the exchange. Buxton reported a few of the tweets to Twitter, he said, but representatives from the platform said the post didn't violate any rules. I'm just going to let it drop, said Buxton, who does not live in the district Van Orden seeks to represent, but I'm just a bit frustrated and irritated that a public official, who by definition is in the public, is so immature. Right?
You've told a few people to go F themselves on Twitter, Dom. I've read the post.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll stand up. I'll do it on the radio if it's, you know,
easy.
FCC. We're ready easy. On the button. You know, I'm fine with that. But come on, man. And I'm not the one running for office. You're running for public office, man. Go ahead, Curdy.
Well, here's a little bit more from my congressman, Mark Pocan.
Yeah, he's cool.
Pocan says, you know, he likes to engage Van Orden to show people who the guy really is. I want everyone to know about this guy's background. This guy is a wackadoodle. I mean, he makes Marjorie Taylor Greene look like a moderate. That from Wisconsin would be hugely dysfunctional to our operations and embarrassing to our state. Yes, Derek Van Orden is an embarrassment. You know, but
well, and Polkin also tweets quite a bit about Van Orden's presence at the D.C. insurrection on January 6th and constantly posts about an August 21 incident at the Prairie du Chien in which a 17-year-old library worker said Van Orden became very angry and aggressive over an LGBTQ books display, which he said taxpayers shouldn't have to look at.
Keep it in private, right? More devils. Keep us public.
The guy was very, very angry and tired, and he wants to go home.
Why, man, look at his eyes. Why, the man's gone.
Warning, listening to the Devil's Advocates may expose you to opposing views.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, call right now at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I see lots of people listening to us on the Civic Media app. Tell your friends, and we're coming to you, Fox Valley, very, very soon, 98.3 FM and 1100 AM. That's Oshkosh Air Support, and that's coming your way very, very soon. Check us out by the end of the week. You know, now that the Brewers are probably not going to make it to the play, well, they're not. They're eliminated.
That's done.
So there's no urgency to get up on the News Talk Brewers station. You know, let Brian do his busy, busy, hard work. So we'll get there soon. And a couple of program notes. Please make note of the fact the U.S. senatorial debate will occur this Friday night. We will originate it from Madison. We'll play it out across the network on the Civic Media app. It will also play out in Wisconsin Rapids on WFHR. Everywhere else, I think, maybe up in Amory as well on WXCE, but everywhere else, we got high school football on Friday night. We're not going to preempt the home team. So anyways, we're going to replay on Saturday at 1 o'clock and Sunday at 1 o'clock pretty much across the network. So if you didn't get it live, try the replay. We're going to play it out all weekend long. And then the following weekend, October 14th, is the gubernatorial debate. The lone gubernatorial debate will broadcast it live at 7 o'clock and, again, replays Saturday and Sunday. So I want to get that out there, Dom.
Well done, Michael. I can't believe you just rolled that stuff off your head.
And did I mention the trial of the Devil's Advocates October 17th? Man. Dude, we're going to have to do some sort of exclusive coverage from the courthouse. Buddy, our trial is in the afternoon. Dude.
It's already crazy. Do you think that, though, the most expensive gubernatorial race in the country, that, you know, we should only get one debate? Shouldn't we get more than one debate? If we're going to spend all that money, we, us, them, they, spending all that money, don't you think there should be more than one debate between the candidates?
No, I'd be satisfied with one.
Come on, really?
I mean, I really don't think this is going to be a very dynamic debate. A, I don't think Tim Michaels is going to be willing to say much. I've seen that Tony Evers is capable of a little confrontation. I mean, I think Michaels is a weak candidate. I think he is ripe for exposure on the stage. The question is does Tony have it in his capability to go for the jugular?
Then once they get in, once, you know, how many times you got to look at a pitcher before you can finally figure out, you know, the throw, right? You get a couple of times and maybe the first one doesn't come, but maybe the second time you identify the weakness. Come on, we need as consumers, as customers, as citizens, as voters. So for so many reasons, we need to know what is below the hey, how you doing surface, man. Yes, of course, we need more than one.
Do you think Tony's going to grab him, trash talk him on center stage?
I
you know, like in the candidate?
The candidate. I hope so. We need at least certainly some rhetorical verbiage like that, yes. I don't know if you necessarily got to get so close with the handshake, but, you know, yeah, I'm down with some of that because there are some real contradictions in philosophy. There's some real differences in policy. So, yeah, I mean, that stuff's got to come to a head, and I want to hear how it is handled.
Well, I'm less inclined to want to hear more gubernatorial debates, although it's a very important race. I'm more inclined to want to hear more senatorial debates. There will be two. We will broadcast the WBA debate this Friday at 7 o'clock. But, I mean, you're going to see a real contrast in styles. Ron Johnson and Mandel Barnes, man, we should try to make a made-for-radio event. Invite them both by. Don't tell the other one. It's like, you know, when you invite the guy and his ex, and you throw them in the room together. And
see, you know, what happens.
It's like Judge Judy, man.
I'm not clear either one of those candidates is going to show up for us, Curdy.
Well, I do have Mandela Barnes tentatively on the schedule right for a week from Monday, like the 10th. I'm like, you guys know there's an election coming up in like 34 days, right?
Hey, I'm not calling Ron, just for the record. It's not happening.
Did one of our other hosts ask you for Ron's phone number?
Oh, no, not that. No.
Earl's looking.
Oh, I got you, Earl.
Earl's got Mandela coming in studio on his show. I'm like, how do you rate, dude? Apparently, Mandela's going to Milwaukee.
He's
Milwaukee
Earl.
Show sooner.
He's That's Earl. How he rates.
Earl on WAUK mornings 8 to 11. Give him a listen. Damn good program. Joanne from Madison, appreciate you listen to the greatest radio show ever.
Hey, Joanne.
Yes, sir. Great show. Just a comment. We've got a terrific lieutenant governor candidate out there, Sarah Rodriguez. How about some Tony and Sarah commercials? How about making it clear to people that we've got somebody who could really step into Tony's shoes if something would go wrong? And, of course, there are some feminist angles here, and also it expands the range of people to have somebody with the last name of Rodriguez, however one phrases that diplomatically and all that. She's terrific, and I love her, and I'd like to see more of her. Thanks so much.
Well, we'll certainly see if we can accommodate Joanne. We've certainly had Sarah Rodriguez on this show, and I like the lieutenant gubernatorial nominee now on the Democratic side. She's vacating her seat for the right to, you know, take the big step up. And she is the co-pilot. And, you know, here's the scary part. I know I'm putting you on the spot here, Dom.
Oh, don't do that.
Who's Tim Michaels' lieutenant gubernatorial nominee? Who's on the ticket with Michaels?
I don't know.
You know what the scary thing is? I don't know either.
We can find out.
Is it Roger Roth? Is it former Senator Roger Roth?
To Joanne's point, though. Joanne's point, and thank you for the call, Joanne. Great point. I would love to see that. The combined candidates, yes, Tony Evers and Rodriguez together in the ads, in a messaging effort. I think you're absolutely right on every single point. And I'm actually kind of surprised. I haven't seen that yet, and I hope to see and hear that soon. Great points. Thanks for the call. 844-967-2789.
On the Civic Media Radio Network, dude. You know, Tony, I can drop them statewide for you. One phone call. See? One call does it all,
no,
Tony.
No, it's already taken. Hey, Mark, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, I just remind folks that previous military service, the noble as it may have been, is no guarantee that the guy is actually a patriot, because remember, Benedict Arnold was a hero of the Revolution until he turned traitor, and now he, you know, that is now is remembered for that. So, I mean,
Van Orden, Derek Van Orden, the Navy SEAL that's running for Congress.
Right, he basically betrayed
Michaels.
You know, that they both, you know, that Van Orden, especially, if he participated in the insurrection, even tangentially, that he violated his oath. I mean, he didn't find it, you know, it wasn't important for him enough to remember that he took an oath to uphold the Constitution. Part of upholding that Constitution is a peaceful transfer of power. And he didn't want to see that happen. That's why he was there for the insurrection, and he should be, you know, questioned on that.
Well, yes, certainly
absolutely, Bark.
But perhaps he stayed inside the velvet ropes. You know, maybe that's the guy.
Johnson said. Well, that's why he doesn't want to go to the debate, because, of course, that is a question. And my understanding is he was not forthcoming when it was first brought out about where he was and what he was doing, let alone the fact he financed it with his campaign funds. But, you know, no wonder why the guy doesn't want to show up.
My understanding is Ron Johnson admitted to being an insurrectionist for at least an hour.
An
that's
hour?
As long as a debate. Thanks for listening. Do it again tomorrow.